This is CliffCentral.com.
And it is the Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. It's a Thursday and it's Johannesburg. The weather is good. The EFF and the DA working together. Work it out.
Who would have imagined?
Who can imagine the world has changed? Judas Malema and the DA. This is crazy. It's been an interesting week in politics. Interesting week socially. We had SA Fashion Week. We've got the big lorries coming up over the weekend, and of course my favourite man is next to me. It's looking sexier than ever. Duncan, how you doing, boy?
I'm doing this fine.
You're doing good.
I'm doing very well.
What was the worst accent?
Spanish.
I'm doing very well. Spanish.
I'm doing this fine. I'm trying to sound like the mafia.
You're going like, you know, Duncan, I'm doing real well.
I'm doing just fine.
You're going to look, I can't do it. Hey, not today. But it's a great day. We have a great show lined up. And of course, this is The Unview. My name is Alan Ford. It's good to be with you on cliffcentral.com. And of course, you can always hashtag us or get a hold of us. So you can tweet us. You can actually even, you can Skype us if you want. It's very cool, calm, and collective. And got a great show lined up. We're going to be chatting to our new Miss South Africa very briefly, just about sleeping with me on the bridge at the CEO sleep house. I have slept with her in South Africa.
I did
sleep with her. I slept with Yusuf Abramji, Miss South Africa, Stephen Kosser from Investec.
Wow.
And of course the MEC. We all slept together.
For a good course, by the way.
But we slept next to each other. You see, but I can still say I slept with her. You have to be fair.
You know, I think you're the only guy who can go around and say that.
Duncan, if you and I we're sleeping on a plane next to each other. We still slept together, didn't we?
We slept amongst each other.
But we still slept together.
Amongst each other.
Well, depends how you want to see it. A great show lined up. We've got Mark Lottering. His new show was out yesterday. It was brilliant. I've got to tell you, I laughed my head off. We're going to chat to the head of SAMRO about the phenomenal new scholarship. We'll chat to Nathaniel. You know Nathaniel?
The bald guy.
Yes, the Afrikaans performer, phenomenal performer. Yes, not just the bald guy. Just because you're a bald guy.
No, you know why? Because I've only seen him on meat packs by the butchery. Isn't he a chef as well?
No, he's just one of the sponsors for Checkers. But anyway. Hello, is this Duncan? This is Nathaniel speaking. Anyway, we'll have him on the show because he's got a great new show called Mannequin starting at Empress Palace this week. And then we're going to talk to the Culinary Olympic team. Now, you know that we have got Food Olympics.
I don't know. I trust Seriously, you to know about
I
that.
I know that the Food Olympics. Okay, so the coolest thing is we have the Food Olympics and we have a team that go off to Germany in October to partake in the Food Olympics. All the countries from around the world.
Is it like cooking contest or eating contest?
No, it's beyond, it's cooking, it's chefs.
Oh, okay.
And the food that they've got to create is, I can't even tell you how difficult it is.
I'll look it up, yeah.
So I went to experience a luncheon with the whole group going, and it was incredible. They deconstruct things and it's deconstruct springbok and crayfish starters.
How well have we done in the past Olympics?
We've got silver before. We've come in the top five, but there are a lot of teams. And South Africa's placed up in the best in the world. And you're thinking about the French and the British. Well, the British are not great, but Germans, you know, you Spanish, you're up against the best. But, you know, we're very quick to talk about the South African Olympic team that are in Rio at the moment, which is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what Wade Vanikek did was absolutely superb.
He brought the country together again, even if it was just
for a moment. Everyone brings the country together. The country's together.
Okay. Things are not falling apart.
But it isn't.
Yeah, at all.
I mean, you have the EFF is working with the DA.
Who would have imagined?
Exactly. So let's keep things in perspective. So we'll chat to the Culinary Olympic team. They're going off to Germany. We'll talk to the manager and to the captain of the team. Great chefs. And then we'll also talk about the Fair Lady Woman of the Future Awards. So it's quite a packed show. I got whatever on my board. Whatever. Put your money where your mouth is. Money on the world make the game go good. Money out of sight cause fights. Put up a so shut up. He's got to be one of South Africa's biggest stars, if not South Africa's biggest star. And of course, he's won a number of awards. And to see him perform, it's a piece of art. It's a brilliant piece of music. And, you know, he's just South Africa's iconic Nathaniel. The show is called Mannequin and opens at Empress Palace this week. It's on for a month and it's something that cannot be missed. Nathaniel, welcome to the show. It's such an honor to have you with us here on Cliff Central.
Hello, you're the first one who says the title right. Everybody says Mannequin, which is not a word.
No, it isn't. It's Mannequin. Yes, correct. It's tell me about it. It sounds so interesting. Are you the tailor in the show?
Well, I'm one of the tailors in the show. I'm the one who tells the story and obviously the oldest one. So it's just a story that I imagined. The story's been in my head for a few years. Mm-hmm. I kept it for a novel and then I realized I will never have the time to write the novel, so I can just as well put it in a show. It is just weird because people always ask me, are you going to leave South Africa? Are you going to stay in France? Are you going to... Blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, I will only leave a place one day when I cannot do what I do anymore. When the society or the politics or the economy or something stops me from doing what I want to do. But then I thought, if I didn't have family in France and if I didn't spend much time there, what would I do? And I imagine the story that if you, in the modern world, are not happy or healthy and you had the guts to do something different, what would you do? And that's really what the story is about. It's funny, and it's hopeful, and it's fantastical, and it's about hope, and it's about doing something that is right but still illegal, and how do you go about it?
What inspires you, Nathaniel?
I don't know. I think every show is inspired by something different. I will see an outfit that I need an excuse to wear, and I will write the show so that I can get into that outfit
really,
for one show.
Mm.
And for another show, I will hear music that I like the style and want to put it in the show. And for something, it's what happens in the world, or it's just a story that is in my head. It's different every time.
This particular show, who would appeal to? Firstly, people that love you, we get that. But for someone that hasn't seen Nathaniel's work, what would you say to them?
I would say to them, what I do is I'm not a comedian and I'm not a pop star. I'm a storyteller and a musician. And if you, for 90 minutes, want to not escape, but everybody needs to exhale at some point and switch off their cell phones. My cell phone announcement, by the way, is longer than the show. But switch off these cell phones and just forget about it all, because we are busy with nonsense 24 hours of the day, busy, 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 and hysterical, and our hearts are not healthy, and our minds are not healthy. I need to take people to suck them into the stage, make beautiful pictures, take them to another world. It's not important. It is just the most important thing to me is, and touch wood, people say it, is that it's a form of a healing experience, not so much in a serious way, but that you just exhale and forget for 90 minutes about where you are, what you're doing tomorrow, and the children, and all the stuff, and just go on a small little journey.
Now, the show is filled with surprise, fear, cruelty, humor, truth, and fantasy. But the thing is that you're famous for your original music, but you have a surprise of a couple of well-known world hits in the show as well.
Yeah, I sing cover songs or well-known songs when I tour and do concerts and do non-challenging things. In productions, that, especially the big ones at Empress, I usually stick to original music, and once or twice I throw in a song. But this was dictated by the story. These people are in a workshop, and they have their old recordings, and they listen to them. So some of the songs, I'm not going to say it because then it spoils the surprise, but, or not the surprise, the moment, but and I do change them a lot, but some of the songs are the most well-known songs in the world, especially from the 60s and the 80s, and it's not an ABBA tribute, so I'm not doing it in the style that people are accustomed to. I'm doing it in what is good for me and what goes into the setting of the show.
Nathaniel, when can people come and see it and tell us about the run?
We are 18 August, which is now basically to 25 September. It's 6 weeks from Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. After 15 years, we made the shows earlier. We usually started later, but 8 o'clock. And Sundays, for people who are afraid, they can come at 3 o'clock.
It's all at Empress Palace, which is great.
It's at the Theatre of Marcellus at Empress Palace, and you book a comfy ticket. It's very straightforward.
Thank you. Nathaniel.
And it's called Mannequin.
Mannequin, correct. And I've got to say that you are one of South Africa's greatest stars, and it's a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Be good. I look forward to seeing the show. I'll be there. That is Nathaniel, and of course the show is at Empress Palace, and it's called Mannequin. Don't miss it. He's magical.
Absolutely.
He's brilliant. Are you going to come with me?
I feel like I've been missing out.
You seriously have?
I will be coming with you. When are we going, Alan?
We're going on Friday, you know.
Oh, sorry, this weekend.
Okay, well, I'll take it.
I'm going to Durban. I've got a gig.
What are you
going to
do in Durban?
I've got a gig.
A gig?
A gig.
Who gigged you?
DJ gig. I've got a club called Casa Nostra.
Are you gigging now?
Yeah, I'm gigging.
Are you like famous?
This past weekend, I was at Tumisho Masha's birthday.
And you gigged?
It's Stain City, yeah. I had a 5-hour
set. I didn't know you could even write.
Well, there isn't a lot you know about me, Adam. Yeah, just ask and I'll tell.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the Unview, and that was Nathaniel. Coming up next, of course, we're going to chat to Mark Lottering, and of course, Miss South Africa is also joining us on the Unview. So last night, Duncan, I went off to the theatre on the square here in Sandton, and I had the pleasure of firstly watching one of my favourite comics on stage, but it was hysterical. First and foremost, it was called Hashtag Lottering, so my next guest is Mark Lottering. But Duncan, did I laugh? I realized that Greek, Lebanese, and colored people are all the same. They really are. I have never laughed in my whole life. And there is one part of the show when he discusses a buffet, a breakfast buffet. Yeah. And I never forget my mom saying, take a muffin or two because you might get hungry at the pool. And I thought to myself, I live this life. And being a Christian and going to, it was an absolute brilliant show. Duncan, promise me you're going to go and see this program.
When's it going until?
Well, we'll chat to Mark Lottering all about that, but it's on for a month.
What's it called?
It is called Hashtag Lottering. And on the line, we have Mark Lottering. How are you, Marky?
I'm upset because Duncan, obviously, is not on our website.
Duncan, shame, you know these blacks. Some of them, they're not reading properly.
Wow.
But hold on, this is what we say. We do say this on the Unview, and Duncan and I know. And you see what he says about gay people. Sumizi feels him off all the time, and it's kind of crazy. But no, I'm joking. Duncan is brilliant, and and he's a big fan of yours.
I love Lottering, man. I remember growing up just watching Mark Lottering, but now that I'm older.
Say you love me, say I remember growing up.
I know.
That is the wrong way to love me. Love me as a grown up, because I remember growing up only gets me into jail.
Okay.
Just wait for me to finish my sentence. I meant when I wasn't earning cash. Now that I can afford to go watch shows and
stuff.
It's
getting worse, Alan. Worse.
Get off, please.
Duncan.
You know, he's gone. Mark, brilliant. And what a way to hit Johannesburg audiences in the most hysterical, one of the most hysterical stand-up performances that I've seen in a long time. First and foremost,
thank you very much.
What inspired Hashtag Lottering?
Well, I spend a lot of time, obviously, on my phone. I spend a lot of time on social media. So, I always write about what I'm going through or what's going on in my life. And that's how the show came about, because we are just all a hashtag, but darn it. Like, everybody's on the, we don't talk to people anymore. We message them. And essentially, that's how the show came about.
Can I ask you this question, Mark? The audience, is it as receptive in Johannesburg as it is in the Cape? Have you performed this in the Cape? You did it.
No, I've done little bits of it at different venues, because the show goes to Cape Town on the 12th of November.
Okay.
But people, I've done it around the country, and I've done the show in Dubai, and people generally all identify with the issues that are happening and whatever I'm talking about. So it's been very, very, very damn cool just doing the show everywhere. It's been, people have been screaming. And more importantly, they've been paying to see me. And more importantly, their credit cards have come through. And the next day, everything's amazing because I get my EFT and wow, it's just all cool.
I must say the audience went crazy, Mark. Did you notice? They really went insane. And the laughter, it was so wonderful because you sit there with a whole bunch of people. It was myself and an Afrikaans person with me. We had a colored people, black people, Jewish people, white, and everyone was in hysterics because I think the whole point of the, even though it's your story.
You brought someone, I think you're having an affair with somebody and that's a person you brought with you.
I'm always having affairs, yes, of course.
I saw the two of you and it looked a bit too, you guys were too close for comfort. I could smell.
And
I could smell that it wasn't supposed to be happening.
And I
could smell that wherever you were going was like somewhere weird. We picked up on that after the show. Are you going anywhere with this relationship, or is it just somebody that you brought to opening night? Is this what you
know? No, you see, I brought him to opening night because I thought if he after such a
you played on the words opening night and then you bring someone and then. Just my opening night.
No, I thought that you were so funny that if I take my clothes off, you can laugh just as much, and then it keeps the whole theme going.
Alan Ford, I've seen you with your clothes off, and I remember that we didn't laugh because the room was quite busy. There were lots of people because that's the kind of parties we were at, and it was quite cool. It was quite cool. So last night seeing you dressed was amazing. It was something
different. Oh, Mark Lottering, I do love you, Mark. What is your favorite part of the? You know, performing. What is your favorite part of it, of this particular production?
My favorite part of the show is when I feel that it's clicking with the audience and that we can celebrate and dance, because I like to call it a dance, you know, and I'm vibing with the audience because people often don't read before they come to the show, so they don't realize I'm not going to do any characters. Mm. It's just pure stand-up from beginning to end. And once that clicks with the audience and I can feel that we're having a jaw, then for me, I can go to any place in my head or any topic that I wish. They've got me, I've got them, we're having a great time together. That for me is magical, when I just feel the magic with me and the audience in that room on a particular night.
I love the space theatre on the square. I mean, I love it. I think that it's very intimate, which makes it.
Don't you just,
I love it. Eh?
Yeah, and I haven't been there for years. So, did you enjoy that space?
I love that space. Number one, you could feel the people next to you. You know, if you want to feel someone off, as you know, I'd like to do that occasionally. But most importantly, it's an intimate, and you can because you know laughter creates more laughter. So even if someone's not getting something, then they start to laugh anyway because it's that type of thing. I must say it is higher grade, a lot of it, but of course it can appeal to anybody. Listen, it's not for kids, we get that, but the thing is, it is for everyone. Anyone who loves Christmas, I can tell you now, anyone who has, for me, that has the WhatsApp family group, Mark, every single thing that you said about the WhatsApp family group identified with me. You know, it's it's called the Gaggle, a gay group of friends. And I mean, we're having a brother Saturday, so who's bringing what? And they always know the auntie's going to bring something. So okay, come to my house.
I'm so putting the Gaggle in the show tonight.
Please don't put the Gaggle in the show.
Actually, who's bringing what only has to come with hands in the air. Who's being what?
Yeah, who's being? But I love you did it really, really well. And Mark, I'm so proud to always work with you, and more importantly, to be able to watch you and love you. And it gets better and better and better. And I mean, then you also
you
get onto that piano and you play a bit of a little parody, which I love. And it's just superb. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mark, tell us the show has hashtag Lottering. It's in Johannesburg. Give us the dates.
The show is running at the moment. I don't work on. There are no shows on Sunday and Monday, and we run until the 17th of September, every other night, until the 17th of September at 8:15. The show starts with no interval, and it runs for 75 minutes. You can get your tickets by calling the Theatre on the Square in Sandton, or by going to strictlytickets.com, strictlytickets.com.
please don't miss the show. It is brilliant. And, of course, for the Cape Townian listeners, you said the 12th of November.
Yes, at the Baxter. And tickets are, bookings are open for Cape Townians already on CompuTicket.
Magic. Mark Lottring, thank you for joining me. An absolute brilliant show. And that is Mark Lottring.
It's amazing. This is the first interview I've done from bed. And
are you in bed?
I'm quite turned on. Can you guys call me all day, please?
So, Mark, what are you doing in bed?
Goodbye, Alan Ford. I now have to do a real interview where I go something.
Mark Lottring in bed. Cheers, boy. Bye.
Goodbye.
So earlier this morning, Gareth Cliff had the wonderful Miss South Africa 2016 on his show. And, of course, Ntando Kunene and I shared a wonderful evening on a bridge for the CEO sleepout. And I just wanted to chat to you about it briefly. Wasn't it great?
It was a great experience. I think more than anything else, you know, sometimes we look at people on the streets and we never really think of how much or what they're going through. And for us to spend that one day, it made me realize that they go through so much and it's so cold. And for us, it was just one day. And for them, it's a reality each and every day. So it's things like that that kind of make you be grateful for what you have. And also, I just had a good experience in terms of meeting people and meeting different people that are there for a good cause.
Well, I loved using you as my little doll. I had a little doll on the street, and I tranced you up and down, and it was a great experience.
It was, certainly.
And, of course, Sun International was the overall sponsor, and, of course, that's your main sponsor with Celsi. Miss South Africa, has it been a great year?
So far, I'm going on my sixth month, and it has been amazing, life-changing, and obviously there are a bit of challenges here and there, but other than that, I'm having a good time, and I can say that I'm truly living my dream.
Can you tell me one major thing? We're going off to Miss World, yes. Miss Universe. Are you prepared for this thing?
I'm not prepared at the moment, but I will be. Going through all the prep right now. But when December comes, I'm going to be fully ready to represent South Africa.
For a girl that wants to become Miss South Africa, what would you say to them?
For girls, well, first go and enter. Apply online.
Enter, yes. Yeah. The prize is a million rand.
Yes, the prize is a million rand. But obviously, another thing is to prepare yourself and to know what you are about. I think one thing that is important is knowing who you are so that you are able to share that with the judges.
It's wonderful having you. Thank you for joining me. And if you want to listen to the full interview, go and get the podcast from earlier this morning where you can listen to Ntando on Gareth Cliff Show.
Yes.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Miss South Africa Ntando Kunene here on The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
So, as I said to you, Donkey, we went off to this phenomenal luncheon this week at Michelangelo Hotel, where the Culinary Olympic team prepared a beautiful lunch for a bunch of the media. And, of course, they're off to Germany to the Food Olympics. It's the Chef Olympics. And, I mean, I know that you said, how do I know about this? Because I know that food is a critical part of the world. And, of course, but the competition is really tough. Now, on the line from the Culinary Olympic team, I've got Henrico Grobler, who's the captain of our team. Henrico, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's a busy morning for us here.
I know you're busy, and I know we're going to move very quickly because you're at the Cullinan and it's packed. Henrico, yes. Tell us about the team and what is the Culinary Olympics?
The Olympic is an event for chefs that happens every 4 years. So it's very much the same cycle as with the athletics and the sport nowadays in this time. And then every 2 years after that's the World Cup. So we fall in the same bracket of the Olympic year. So it's about 30 countries that's going to compete in two events, cold table, hot food is displayed cold. So there's no, the judges judge for presentation only and skill. And then 2 days later, we move into Restaurant of Nations where South Africa is usually way stronger. And that's where we cook. So the team is 60 members that will enter a fish bowl, which is a glass kitchen. And we've got 6 hours starting from scratch to do 110 starters, 110 mains, and 110 desserts. After 6 hours, one chef needs to leave the kitchen to become the announcer or the obier or the maitre d', which will be then running the pass and the docket system. And then we'll go in for 2.5 to 3 hour a la carte service, based on orders, serving a starter, a main, and a dessert.
I mean, this is big pressure, but it comes with huge accolades. We've done very well in the past.
Yes. In 2008, our current advisor, Shekhar Sneer, He won gold in the Hot Kitchen. South Africa has once been world champions. I think it was in 1993. So and previous teams also won gold. The last two Olympics we walked away with double silver. So we'd really like to break that dry spell in October 2016.
Henrico, how does one become the captain of this culinary Olympic team? You are our captain. How did this come about?
Yes, yeah, I'm very honored and I'm very privileged to be that. I'll be honest with you, the level of the team members is of such quality that in my opinion there's not a captain required, because each and every team member has their job allocated. But at the end of the day, the competition rules state they need to be a captain. So what the captain does is, number one, on the day of the event, it will be the spokesperson for the national team or for the country if the judges has any questions. So his profile, he needs to know everything about each and every item that goes on each table or on each plate. So he can explain, because you've got judges all over the world. Some guys are from Turkish, and then you put something like a babuati on, and they've got no idea what a babuati is. So they would need your aid to assist them in judging it so that they can judge it accordingly, so it's fair for each and everyone. And then obviously with the captaincy, I'm very fortunate that I've been with the national team for 12 years. So I've been traveling with the team. Where some of the other team members will be going over for the first time. So I think that was also counted in my benefit. And you see the passion just of competitions. Some people work a day job and they do cycling on the weekend. I work in the kitchen and my hobby and sport is doing competitions. So very fortunate to be the captain. And then obviously on the day of the event in the Hot Kitchen, my job is to run the pass in the inside, and I'm also the time announcer, so I keep the team posted. I go around, make sure everyone is calm, sure they're on time with their prep list or their order sheets in order they have to prepare for the execution time, which is 6 hours later.
Henrico, what are some of the things that will be synonymous with South Africa? What are some of the dishes?
What we do is we try to, it's very difficult because we've got, I think, 12 types of cuisine in South Africa. So you can't bring all 12 into the competition, but we try to highlight, favorable elements. Like, for instance, crayfish. You get lobster and things like that, but you don't get crayfish. So that's our starter. And then what we've done is we brought in a little bit of Durban there with a lot of Indian type of spices. And we're very fortunate to have Dion Vandegas on the team, which is from that region. And he's highly educated in his cuisine. So he brings in a lot of that depth flavors of spice and tones with green mango. So very, very well balanced. Then we move on to the main course. The main course, we've decided Springbok, because that's a national deer, and we're going to use South African meat and fish in Germany. So we've got all the export licensing to get the produce there.
Sure.
So
it's bigger.
So that is a special trip for us, in terms of that we can cook off around the world with things that came from our native soil. And then, for dessert, we've gone very classic there with chocolate and raspberries. Like, South Africa is the number one raspberry producer in the world, but we never see it because they export everything. So we went with this, and then we've thought, let's take a little bit of Bloemfontein with us, because the town of roses. So we incorporate a little bit of rose flavor with a raspberry with white chocolate mousse, and then we just finish it off, because the dishes need to be balanced with some coconut.
So I've got to tell you, I thought the meal was superb. You guys are absolutely brilliant. And again, it's mastery on a plate. It's art. And it's hard work. Again, for any young aspiring chef, your story is very interesting, because you studied to be an engineer, because that's what you were told to do by your dad. Tell us about that.
Yes, my father's an engineer, and in his eyes, I think that's the only job for a man. So, I'm not one day that I took that route, because it brought in a lot of discipline for me and being very meticulous in certain things. So it was 4 years for me later in a kitchen, but when I started in a kitchen, I was thinking like an engineer. I'm like 4 years behind, so if I'm in the first 4 years of kitchen time, if I can do double shifts, then in 4 years, I will be exactly with the same guys that started 4 years earlier. So I'll be par on eight. And then it just became a lifestyle to work 18 hours a day. So when people go home at 5 o'clock, that's my lunchtime. That's my break for a sandwich to move on to the next.
We had the pleasure. You and I have worked together in the past, and I know that you are one of the hardest workers in the. I mean, you did win the Chop South Africa Challenge, which went all over the world. Your history speaks for itself. But more importantly, we want you to bring back gold. Gold in food.
Yeah, we try not to. We've got a little thing in the national team. We like to keep food related. So we don't talk about gold. We talk about the cheddar.
Oh, okay. The cheddar. Okay.
We want to bring some cheddar home. We will try our utmost best. The chef that trained me, the chef with Paul Hartman and Garth Trubel and Chef David Higgs, they've got a very good saying. They say you're only as good as chef as you are on a day. And for me, I just hope the chefs pull our way. We've trained really hard. We're a national family. We're not actually a national team. We work extremely well together. It's harmonizing food. We know what we need to do, and we just hope that all the preparation and studying of the rules and learning from these mistakes, that eventually on the day everything is going to come together and we can make South Africa proud and we can bring light to young South African chefs, because the chef industry is struggling. It's a tough trade. People would rather look at other opportunities to work in other sectors than kitchen, because it's weekends, it's public holidays.
It's hot as four in the morning. It's tough.
Yes, it's tough.
And it doesn't see big returns in terms of financial sometimes. Yeah.
Like they taught me, the money will come, but it takes a while. It's like you don't walk into your job the first day and they give you a gold watch. You start packing towels, you clean fridges, because you don't have that. Take a 350 rand per kilo salmon and start filleting it and getting that sashimi loin cut perfectly. So I usually use the thing as nothing against that trade, but you can do wet paste designing in 6 months, and then from there on you can build yourself, and within a year or two, if you're very artistic, you can make a big name for yourself, where this is taking 7 years just to learn how to work a knife properly.
Sure, it's brilliant. So, Henrico, there's so much to talk about. I want to get you in studio. We've got to do this, you and I, when I'm in the Western Cape.
Definitely.
Bring food.
Definitely.
The man cooks. You've never tasted a food like this in your life. This man can cook.
He's the captain of South Africa.
This man can cook. Sweet Jesus, he can cook. I tell you something. Henrico Krobler.
Amen, hallelujah.
And I mean that with all you can. Henrico, I wish you the best of luck. Please send lots of love from all of us here at Cliff Central to the team. We support you with all our hearts. We'll be chatting to you guys in October while you're in Germany. We'll chat to Heinz Brunner and to some of the other chefs. We wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you for your time, and thank you for dining with us at the Michelangelo on Tuesday. It was really a pleasure seeing you after a year and a bit.
Anna, thank you. And I want to just say one other thing to you, Henrico. If we want to taste your food, where can we go to now, today?
I'm very proud to be the executive chef of the Cullinan Hotel in Cape Town, where I usually say we are the biggest block on the rock. We are the biggest rock on the block. We've got a beautiful stellar tapas bar restaurant. So what we've done is we've got a lot of tourism people coming in over the season time. So we've incorporated the Cape Malay in a tapas style, with beautiful cocktails. It is such a petite, fine, beautiful, blue little venue with absolutely amazing cocktails. The flavors that we push out of that kitchen is really, really amazing. So people must come on a Friday night. If you want to see some hype, come to the Cullinan Stella kitchen and we'll cook you some beautiful Cape Malay tapas. There's other things like our classic pork and our salmon angry duck curry. People love it. I'll be here.
We'll come and see you. Let me run. We're going to do this again. We'll chat to you soon. The captain of our South African Culinary Olympic team, Henrico Krobler, thank you so much for joining us here on cliffcentral.com. The food sounds great, eh?
Sounds amazing, Alan. But
you must see, it's brilliant.
How come you never wanted to be a chef? Because I feel like you would have been the South African captain as well. Why not be a chef?
Because I'm a broadcaster and I'm a TV producer, but I can cook.
Well, you haven't invited me over for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I'll invite Sumizi and you know what you're going to get afterwards. You'll get dessert from him. And this is the Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. And that was, talking about going off to the Olympics, the Culinary Olympics. So we've had a great show, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, jam-packed as always.
Miss South Africa, Mark Lottring, Nathaniel, the Culinary Olympic team. It's been full.
Yeah.
And you're off to Durban to do a gig, which is really late.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
And I must say, I was in Cape Town last week. I love Cape Town. It's really cool. Like, I'm so shua.
I feel like that's where you're going to actually end up.
I don't know where.
You're going to retire.
No, you know where we'll end up? In the ground. That's where we're going to end up. So you better enjoy your life in between.
Absolutely.
How's Sumizi doing?
Well, he's living a whole new other life, man. Let's just forget about him and move on, Alan. He probably doesn't even ask about us.
He doesn't care.
You know what I'm saying?
I sent a message. Now he's famous.
It's about the move on.
But I've got to tell you, it's always great to be with you, Duncan.
I can imagine.
I must say, it's been a bit of transference because it's hard for me not to be with Sumizi, but at least I can feel you up a bit here.
I can't believe he hasn't even invited us to his new studio.
He didn't care. He didn't invite us for a cup of tea.
As much as we shouldn't care as well, Alan.
I know it's hard. It's hard. You know, and I see him on TV and I have all these emotions. It's terrible.
It's going to be all right. It will be all right.
Well, we'll be back next Thursday with a great show. Lots of wonderful things planned, as we always do. And thank you for joining us on The Unview, hey?
Exciting.
Because we are the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Who's thin? Neither one.
None of us.
Who's rich?
Thin. None of us.
Who's fabulous?
No one.
I am. It's good to be with you. And don't forget to download the podcast. Tell your friends about it. And of course, it only happens here on cliffcentral.com. And next week, we're going to have a whole touchy, cliffy touch thing. Touch cliffs. And I don't know what's going to happen, but it should be interesting. It's been good to be with you.
This is cliffcentral.com.